Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal, the show where we bring you all the coolest stuff that happened last week and some of the stuff that wasn't cool because we don't pass judgment. We have a very special episode today, and once again, I am joined, as always, by my special co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
It is I, once again, Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, the Snow Queer on Tumblr, and I'm doing pretty good today.
That's good to hear, Steph. That's good to hear. So, we have a very special guest. We have somebody who's been on Character Reveal before, so the first repeat person. One of our friends who's real in the comic scene, you know, pretty much leading the charge of all queer comics of all time, came out with the Dates Anthology before. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hi, my name is Zora. You can find me at ZH Gilbert on Twitter and Tumblr, so basically the places I exist. And yeah, I'm one of two editors of Dates, an anthology of queer historical fiction, and also one of the same two editors of Dates 2, which is currently kickstarting.
Awesome, and that's, Elephant in the Room is going to take the sheet off, you know, pay attention to the man behind the console. We wanted to bring you on to talk a little bit about your Kickstarter and maybe generate some buzz about it before we get into all the stuff that's going on last week.
So do you want me to just talk about the project as it is now?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so Dates 2 is currently kickstarting. You can find it at kickstarter.datesanthology.com, which is just, you know, Kickstarter and then the title. It's the second volume. It's 100 pages longer than last year. Ooh. Or, well, okay, it's like 98 pages longer, but we're just going to say 100.
Round that up.
It's a lot. It's still mostly comics. There are 218 pages of comics. There are, I think, 16 full-color illustrations, plus all of the comics have full-color covers.
Ooh.
There's two prose stories, and now the prose stories have illustrations, and that's very exciting.
Oh, very, very cool.
They're so pretty. Oh, my God. yeah, and we're going to be kickstarting until 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on March 25th, and that's a Saturday. And
cool.
We are
How are
so
you doing
close
so far?
To goal. We're so close. We just passed 18,000 today. Our goal is 22,000. Oh, I want to get there.
You can
so
definitely
soon.
Get there.
So bad.
We're going to send our fans your way and hope to get some helping out there. That's good that your Kickstarter is so far out, because now I can't lazily miss the deadline with this episode.
Yes, yeah. Sooner the better is always good.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, so the thing about the Kickstarter that, well, okay, there's one thing that's a stretch goal that's very special, and one thing that's a backer reward that makes me very happy. So the stretch goal that we really, really want to hit, so our base goal is 22,000. That's enough to pay our creators their base rate and print the book and ship it to everyone. You know, all the basic Kickstarter things. We budgeted very well.
Good job.
At $37,000, we'll be able to, A, bump up the creators' rate twice. And you can see more on the stretch goals at the website. But we'll also be able to reprint Dates 1, which is, like, hella awesome, because we have approximately no copies left. There's, like, a couple we've squirreled away for convention appearances and for donations to LGBT / queer organizations that can't necessarily afford them, but other than that, it's, like, 1,000% out of print. So we really want to reprint it.
Well, that would be nice. It's always good to see, you know, fiction be, I guess, like, historically cataloged and just widespread and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and it, like, bums me out because people do ask us for the paperback of Volume 1, and we just, like, can't sell it online. We don't have enough of them anymore.
Well, I'm glad to hear I'm glad to hear there's still, like, a big demand for them.
Yeah, it's like, crazy to me. and then the other thing that I'm really excited about, and this is just very personal, and it's kind of a self-plug, but I actually have, like, artwork up on the Kickstarter. I do graphic design, and I designed an enamel pin for one of our backer reward tiers.
Oh, nice.
And it's hot.
Well, if you weren't sold by the base product, you got to be sold on the enamel pin.
It's so nice. I'm very excited about it. I wish I could share, like, the just pages
Ooh,
and pages
pretty.
Of iteration that we went through, because it was a lot.
On the pin itself or the book?
Yeah, for the pin. Yeah, so we, I like spent a bunch of time designing it with my friends. So I did all the work, but I like had my team of reviewers, and I just went through so many options. It was like, it was a true design experience.
Hey, that's nothing wrong with that.
It's really neat looking now. The final product, I definitely thumbs up on that.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so excited about it. This, like, between Dates and Tanika Stotts and Genue Revuelta? I don't quite know how to pronounce her last name, mostly because I can't visualize it in my head. Anyway, they have a pin Kickstarter going right now that, like, also dragged me into enamel pins, and now I'm just in it. Now I'm just obsessed. Here we are.
We made it.
Like, welcome to pin hell.
Welcome to pin hell.
What happened with why did enamel pins just suddenly come out of nowhere? Like, I know this is hella off topic, but I'm just curious, like, why that became, it seems like it suddenly became a thing in the last few years.
I don't know. It was like, it's not even the last few years. It's like the last few months. It just exploded and I didn't get it. I spent like 5 months watching people online being like, wow, these enamel pins are so good. I really want this pin. I'm in pin hell. And I was like, I don't understand this. They fall off your bag and then you're sad. And then I had to design one. And Tanika and Genue launched this Kickstarter. And I was like, here we are. Here's hell. I'm in it now.
I don't even get them. But every time I see one I like, I'm like, I need to have that. Like,
right?
I went out of my way to buy like a Sonic one, Shocking Nobody. And I have purpose or reason to ever use it, but I'm so amped. It's shimmery and stuff.
Ugh. Yeah, they're so pretty, and they're small, and like it's like, I feel like it's activating all of our bird instincts where we're like, oh, that is magpie. Shiny, I must have it.
All of our inner magpies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it from someone who will remain unnamed, but is my co-host. Got me a Luna, like Sailor Moon pin for Christmas, and it's on my bag now. It's quite lovely.
Stay well?
Hasn't fallen off yet. I check, like, when I wear the bag, I keep a hand on it every so often, like, to make sure it's still there, because I do have anxiety about it falling off. Yeah. But the thing that pins do...
What I see people doing is they have pin boards, so they just get like a cork board and they just put them in the board so they can look at them, and then they wear them on like their lapels for like certain events as like accessory pieces.
That's a
which
clever
I
idea.
Feel like is the way that I would have to do it, because I would be so freaked about losing them.
Yeah, seriously.
I think that's what I'm gonna do. I have like a Triforce one, and I think I want to get one from this dude Jim Sterling. He has a show, Jimquisition, and his pin is amazing because his logo is amazing and it looks so good. And it would go great with a suit, which I have a suit.
Nice.
So I guess now I have to get one. It's the only hope. It's my only option.
Yeah. Oh man, I could totally derail us. Like, we could just talk about like nerd fashion for the rest of the hour. Because apparently this is my section of the internet. Welcome. I don't have time to play video games anymore, so all I will talk about is comics and clothes.
That's the one thing about nerd stuff is, especially with video games, there's so many and they're so long, and the press kind of has such a short memory. You know, everyone's been saying, I can't believe how many good games are coming out right now, it's too many. I'm like, well, no, it's fine, because there's going to be a slump around like the end of March where no games are coming out, but we all forget about them. It's either you play every game because you're a reviewer, or you're broke, like me, and you get one game and just play that for, like, 7 months until it pisses you off. AKA, that's how I came to the world, where I only played Splatoon and Overwatch for a total of an entire year. Oh my god. I made fun of Homestucks for being obsessive. Who did I think I was?
I'm pretty sure I, like, haven't played a video game since the last time I was on the show, which is, like, so dark. It's the darkest.
Well, it's there's a lot coming out. That leads us into like our next thing, I guess. The Nintendo Switch came out. Have you heard anything about that, Zora or Steph?
I've heard exactly two things. I've heard that Breath of the Wild is amazing, and also that the cartridges taste so bad, just so bad.
That's literally it. There's no other news. Congratulations. Yeah, you're a hardcore gamer now. That's all it took.
I knew one person who got it. That's it. Like a friend who like sent me a Snapchat of the console, and that's my big addition to this news story. I've seen it.
I actually read a review for the Switch because I'm a horrible, horrible nerd. That's not why I'm a nerd. Reading a review of the Switch, that's normal. The reason I read this review is because it was titled Nintendo Switch is a console for humans, not gamers, and I got really, really excited about the semantics of like humans and gamers. Anyway, this review is very good. I recommend it.
Is that on Kotaku?
No, it's Motherboard on Vice.
Okay.
I think Vice is doing
some great stuff.
Yeah, Vice is doing some amazing stuff. Yeah, Motherboard is like, not Motherboard, sorry. This review is like a chain of emails between two of the writers. And they just kind of explore, like, why the Switch is potentially really, really cool. And why that coolness is potentially going to be drowned out by, like, other bullshit.
yeah, I know Waypoint over on Vice does a lot of similar stuff, too. So yeah, go check out Vice. They do a really good balance of being very nerdy and very open and very bro-y, depending on which part of the Vice corner you're in.
That was actually really interesting about this review, is that it was between two people who, like, one probably has, I don't know anything about this staff, but it's two people. It's Derek Mead and Emmanuel Mayberg. And one of them, I think, has a reputation for being, like, kind of goofy and, like, less bro-y and maybe more of a casual. And the other dude, I think, has a reputation for caring about tech stats and, like, all that kind of thing. And in this email exchange, all of that just fell away.
That's cool.
And that was really interesting. And, of course, that's me. Like, I've read exactly one article on Motherboard ever in my life. And it was this one. So I'm just making a lot of assumptions, but...
I saw someone reposted an article that was on GQ back in January or something, and it was like, should a grown-ass man be playing a portable gaming device? And I'm like, that's...
Oh my god.
That's odd. So apparently, they have a series that's just called Grown-Ass Man. Like, it's not passing any judgment, that's just what it's called. And then people are like, who would question that? So I read the article, and they were like, yes, you definitely should go buy this. It's going to be great. Like, go buy the Switch. And I'm like, oh, so... It's dressed up in something that looks like it's going to be about masculinity. It actually has nothing to do with gender other than, yeah, you're a grown-ass man, go buy a Switch. And I'm like, that seems kind of clickbaity, if we're being honest.
I think that's become a new, not necessarily a new genre, but like a new kind of technique of advertising, which I think is really interesting, is the like the overly masculine bait and switch.
I think so. Like, because there's like these dude wipes that come out. They're just baby wipes. And
what?
Yeah.
What?
Well, see,
Oh no!
Gendered. Oh god.
So here's what the implication was, right? So what they were going for, because my point is, if you say, hey, use like baby wipes to like clean up after you do your business, you're like, okay, yeah, there's no gender to that. I'm just gonna go like get like some Cottonelle wipes or something. But they're like, hey, gents, can we wrap real quick? We know you got some, like, funk on the undercarriage, but you can't say that either. You can't just say, dude, wash your balls. But what you can do is say, yo, man, every dude has those spots.
Oh,
use
no.
these wipes. And I'm sure that's exactly what it is, because it's just like Unilever. They're like, hey, Dove, women, love yourself. Also, at the same time, yo, Axe, dominate women. And it's like, you're just trying to make money. You don't care about anything. Though. Yes.
I'm just so tired. I'm so tired, you guys.
Well, it's all about the greater good, Zora and Steph. Because there's a lot of dudes running around with bad hygienic habits. If we have to trick them into thinking that hygiene is masculine, I think the world will be better for it.
God.
Can I dial back for a second, though? I want to know, why are people tasting the Switch cartridges?
Wait, say it again?
Well, I have theories.
Why are people tasting the cartridges for the Switch?
Oh, I've researched this. I know exactly why.
Oh, really? Okay. Take it away.
Oh, I'd love to hear the theory first.
Yeah, same.
Oh, my theories? Okay. So, theory one, that's the kind of Occam's razor theory, is that one dude on a radio show did it, and all of the millennials were like, That's stupid. I'm gonna do it. And then so they did it. The other Fair. Theory is that Griffin McElroy is a horrible, horrible genius, and has been boring amiibos for like a year and a half. And now putting Nintendo items in your mouth is a thing.
Okay. So I think those both contribute to why this has become a phenomenon, but apparently, from all reports that I could tell, Nintendo didn't want little kids eating these because they're very small. So they put like a bittering agent on them. So somebody found that out, and then it probably started with somebody being on a radio show and like Jimmy Fallon. I'm like, hey, we heard Nintendo like bittered these. Let's taste them. Oh, it's horrible. And people were like, well, the McElroys have been putting Nintendo stuff in their mouth. Yeah. This is gonna be nasty. I gotta taste this cartridge. And Nintendo's like, oh yeah, free money.
No, I mean, and the worst the part is that, like, I see this stuff, and I'm like, I cannot honestly say I wouldn't do that.
Nintendo has united, like, the progressive gamers and the conservative gamers, because the story, there's no moral to the story. Like, I mean, all it is do you not want children to die swallowing a cartridge? And it's like, well, I guess, like, doesn't matter. How do you feel about how this video game tastes? Put this video game in your mouth. Yeah, I guess I could do that. It's not too hard.
It's got good mouth feel.
You know, Nintendo's been innovating for years.
Get the chalk next... judges.
But other than that, yeah, Switch came out and people are talking about the launch lineup not being great, which is evidenced by a lot of people.
Just Go Zelda?
Ahead. It's not just Zelda, but it might as well just be Zelda.
What else did it launch with?
Shovel Knight, you know, a game that's been out for like 5 years. But now you're going to be able to play as the Girl Knight, apparently, which is something they promised also 5 years ago. But the game is solid enough to warrant a rebuy. I think it might have some other features. 1-2 Switch, which is kind of like a party game / demo, like a tech demo. Everyone's saying it shouldn't have costed the whole $60. It should have been like either packaged with the game. Because it's kind of game you take to your friends to be like, yo, look how awesome this is. Where the awesomeness won't last longer than a month, but it will convince you to buy the system.
Yeah, from what you just literally the title and the three words you said after the title, it just sounds like Wii Sports.
Yeah, I mean, it probably just is a better Wii Sports. I mean, people said it's fun. It shows you how, like, the high-definition rumble feature works, but other than that, I don't think it's going to be... People aren't going to be writing think pieces like they would for Zelda or for Splatoon when that comes out in December, or even Bomberman, but there's stuff in the pipeline. It'll be good. Yeah, it released with Bomberman.
I just had, like, the most vivid flashback to
that's what they were going for.
Elementary school. Oh my god. Okay. Whew.
I'm pretty sure it's just a port. For all intents and purposes, it's just a port, but all they did was make, like, the girl Bomberman less, like, blatantly Smurfette, and I think added a second one.
Oh my god.
And there's another black Bomberman. Like, the skin, not the outfit, because there already was a black Bomberman, so I think there's two now. So, you know, it's Bomberman Diversity Edition in stores today.
This lineup is working on me. I can't believe it's working on me. This shitty, tiny lineup.
It's enough. Like, Zelda will last you, like, a couple weeks. 1-2 Switch will be fun, like, to break the monotony. Shovel Knight's still good, and, like, whenever ARMS comes out, if that's even out, that'll be fun. I don't know. I mean, the problem is these games are all $60, and the controllers are another $60, so it's like, yo, Nintendo, you gotta throw us a bone here.
Yeah. No, I mean, the other thing is that, like, the beautiful thing about the Switch for me, I think, is that, you know, I'm not particularly financially stable right now, but if I were, and I was still as busy as I am, the Switch was actually a console that I could potentially play, because of the, like, 3,000 ways that you can play it. Because I don't have time to hook up a thing to my TV and sit in front of my TV for 3 hours every day for a week, right? Like,
exactly.
I need to be, like, bouncing around doing a lot of, like, weird stuff when I'm playing video games. So that would be very cool. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, I'm looking to get one probably. If my finances are remotely stable, probably around, like, December when there's too many games, TM, again. And then I can just play three of them. You know, pretty much Splatoon and Smash Bros. And Mario Kart. Oh, yeah. There's an updated Mario Kart that you can also buy. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. which it has all. Well, hey, I was looking at it, like it has all the DLC from the last one. I'm like, yeah, cool, and a few more courses. I don't care. They fixed the battle mode. I'm listening, and we've added the Inklings from Splatoon. If you wanted my $60 Nintendo, you just had to ask.
Like, lead with that. Come on.
I was like, I could play the Splatoon characters in more than one game. Duh, I'm going to buy it. The other bit of news, I just want to briefly touch on the Oscar results. Last week I said that there was going to be a Hollywood hand job and Moonlight wouldn't win. And I was very wrong about Best Picture. And so good for me for being wrong. I'm happy black people won. But I'm not happy that I am on record saying that they weren't going to because Hollywood sucks. Because they proceeded to suck a little bit less.
Yeah, I mean, they drew out their sucking as long as they possibly could. They, like, went for it.
Yeah. They were like, well, we're not even going to announce the right one. We're going to let you think it was something else. And most people aren't going to find out until tomorrow morning because they turned off their TVs.
Nobody gets to give a speech.
I can hear your cat purring.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's funny.
I'm sorry.
I can hear Zora's cat purring.
Oh, yeah, but it's, like, consistent. It's like, it's a purr, not a meow. That's called that's called ambiance. That's what you get when you come to the Geekly Reveal podcast, listeners. Right. You get pure kitty time.
I would feel really bad kicking them off the bed.
No, it's fine.
Hot production secrets. I'm doing this sitting cross-legged on my bed. Because I have a desk, but it's covered with shit.
That's the American dream. and the last bit of news before our break. Steph, you want to announce this part? You know how this all works, which I'm only vaguely initiated.
Okay, so in the last week, there's been a little bit of a shitstorm of sorts because they've decided to announce that there will be a gay character in the upcoming live-action Beauty and the Beast film. This gay character will be LeFou, aka the comedic villain sidekick. I'm less than happy about it, but...
Wait, so why did they announce that? Like, we all knew that. Like, who's the character that's going to be the new gay character?
Dom. This is the first explicitly gay moment in Disney history, apparently. But also, in the same interview that Josh Gad, who plays LeFou in the movie, was talking about it, he said something along the lines of, like, we want to let the viewers decide for themselves, and he doesn't know if he wants to be Gaston or kiss Gaston, and, like...
Holy and shit. I was like,
right?
on the one end, obviously, that's super baity, but on the other hand, like, jokes aside, wasn't that, like, the subtext the last time this came out?
Yeah. Oh my god! I could write you a dissertation about the problems with this.
Right? Like...
A whole dissertation. The whole thing. Years. The whole, like, 100 pages and 5 years of work. Like...
For years I could go on about this, and I feel like it's gonna end up being the same thing as, like, which the, like, random gay Viking in the second How to Train Your Dragon movie, where it was just like, oh yeah, I didn't get married for a different reason.
Craig Ferguson, like, what? Pose. Like
I'm not actually gonna say it was because I had a crush on a guy, but that's what we want you to understand.
Yeah, we leave all the gay stuff for Disney XD, not the movies, apparently. That was a dumb point.
Yeah, no, okay, so that's gross. I'm gonna just lay out why it's a problem, because I feel that it's important to just slap people in the face with the reasons.
No, please do.
so there's there's a lot.
I've like talked myself hoarse this week.
One is it's queering the villain. Like, the first and foremost that pops into my head is that queering the villain is so deeply problematic, and it's like, oh, it's okay if this guy is gay, because he's also just a touch evil. It's also like the bumbling gay friend trope, which is like, I guess not... That's not so much you might not find that on, like, TV tropes, but it's, like, this idea that, like, oh, the villain's sidekick is, like, kind of pathetic and kind of effeminate and kind of weak, and, well, of course he's gay.
Yeah. Oh, also, it's totally he has true. A crush on the super masculine, very heterosexual person.
Yeah. And then there's like the it's establishing this gay character with exactly zero chance of happy ending, right? Like,
yeah, according to
oh my god, all it's not going to be a press, tragic queer thing, but it's also going to be yeah. sad.
Yeah, like according to all this press, it's supposed to be like he's supposed to have some kind of happy ending. I don't know if he's going to end up with like Lumiere or something. Like, but like how?
Yeah, that's the other thing. We've got the gay candlestick in the clock. Come on,
exactly. Like,
hey, I mean, hey, they're not like they're granted they're inanimate objects for most of the movie, but then they turn into dudes, and that would eliminate the creepy thing with the freaking feather duster. So that would be great. Like, oh my god,
kill two birds with one stone. You've got a happy, balanced gay couple, and no creepy flirting, like rapey flirting.
I do commend Disney on somehow making one decision to simultaneously piss off homophobes and the queer community.
Just everybody's mad now.
A theater in Alabama has canceled all its screenings.
Oh my god!
And Russia has denounced the movie for its suddenly pro-LGBT stance.
Oh, Jesus.
Is there bestiality in this movie, though? Like,
yeah, that was my favorite headline. It was like, conservatives denounce film starring, like, human buffalo romance for minor queer content. Like,
Emma Watson needs to save us.
Have you guys talked about how Lego Batman is just too gay yet? Because...
Nah, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm definitely going soon.
Okay. So I'm not gonna.
Actually, too gay or like just too gay? Like,
Headlines have appeared saying that oh, Lego yeah, Batman I saw is about too that. Gay for kids. Oh,
that's impossible. Kids love gay stuff. I've seen it. Like, they love Steven Universe.
Oh my god! And the message is so confusing. It's like it promotes gay adoption. I'll wait until you guys see the movie. But there's like a lot of reasons that's very confusing.
I was gonna say I thought. Dom, would you mind a spoiler? Because I think I know what you're talking about.
I don't care. Like, okay. I already spoiled Get Out so that I can go see it without being too scared.
Okay. doesn't Dick think that he's been adopted by Bruce and Batman separately?
Yeah.
Two dads?
Yeah. And I can, like, 100% guarantee that that is not the gayest part of the movie.
I know that I have a friend who's been, like, carrying around their... Joker and Batman Legos, like, for ages.
And it's really, really interestingly done, because it's, like, it's somehow, while, like, you know, I just talked about, like, queering the villain and all of that, you could make that argument with the movie, but somehow, something about how it's executed just skirts all of those weird, harmful, like, nasty, you know, queering the villain,
like
effeminate
the sad
gay guy tropes. It just sort of like slides on by.
Well, I felt like it's at least from the trailers, it always seemed like they're making the Joker a little bit like in love with Batman, but like for that to be true, it has to implicitly be true that Batman is also kind of in love with the Joker. Like, in order for their dynamic to actually stand,
yeah,
they still have to be opposites of each other.
And it's not like that weird. Okay, so here's the thing, it's not sexualized at all.
I wouldn't hope not.
I mean, yes. Okay. But like, I think the thing that makes those tropes so deeply, deeply, deeply uncomfortable, especially for, like, me as a queer person, especially, like, an asexual queer person, is that they're always really, like, sexual and, like, slimy in their sexuality. There's no, like, sexuality at all in this relationship. It's just sort of, like, weird, not even pseudo-romantic dialogue. It's just, like, straight-up, like, dialogue lifted from, like, a rom-com. and it's all, like, sort of wrapped up in, like, abandonment and kind of, not, like, weird neediness, but sort of, like, a desire to be acknowledged and accepted, rather than, like, the guy dressed all in black with the greasy hair, like, winking at the masculine hero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that works a lot because it also plays into how the Joker naturally is. Like, even in like his darkest, in the Dark Knight, there was still a part of him that was kind of like a, I'm only doing this because of Batman, because I care about Batman, like noticing me, like even slightly undertone. I would like to see where that would have went if Heath Ledger wouldn't have passed away, like if the, he would have still been there instead of Bane. But that's cool. I want to see that. I think I might like try to marathon a weekend because I just love throwing money away at the same time. seeing Get Out and then Batman to cleanse the palate and then like Logan to just send me back down.
Just to send you right back down. The hyper-violent Wolverine movie.
I'm just there for X-23 because she's one of my favorite characters in fighting games. Yeah.
All right. We're at 34 minutes. Well, okay, no. My recording is at 34 minutes and we like... That's slightly longer than we are.
That's fine. Let's take this break real quick. Send the viewers, listeners, not viewers, because it's not visual. Let's send the listeners into a break. Some music. Please enjoy, and we'll be right back. As always, it'll be in the show notes below, to the side, above. I don't know, however you listen to the show, the notes will be there. Anyway, we're back with some trailer news. There's tons of trailers this week, which is pretty good. Let's start with this new Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 trailer. What did y'all think about this?
I think that the trailers for Guardians are getting better and better. Like, I think the first one I was super underwhelmed with, but the second one was pretty good, and this one's, like, even better.
Yeah, I'm interested. This is, like, a little nitpicky thing to pick up on, but I was really interested when they cut to all of the characters and, like, did, like, the name cards. The only person in the entire Guardians lineup who's defined by his relationship to someone else is Peter. His little scene before they show his name is him dancing with Gamora, and then every other character, including the female characters, is like attacking someone or like shooting off like a catty one-liner or something. Like, but Peter's defined by his romance.
That's interesting, and probably his daddy issues.
That too.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. He's just like a cipher. He's It's like, look how, it's kind of like it's an inversion of a lot of the gendered stereotypes where, like, look how badass this guy is. Look how much she loves this guy. Instead, it's like, look how badass Gamora is with this giant gun. And Star-Lord's like, I get to hold her one time.
Yeah, congrats, I mean, buddy. Honestly, like, James Gunn has burned me before. This is James Gunn, right?
Yeah. Directing this one? Yeah, and I agree.
Yeah, okay. He burned me before with Guardians 1. So, like, I don't trust anything coming out of this movie.
Yeah, I was very excited for the first movie, and I was very disappointed by what I actually saw.
The thing is that, like, I enjoyed the movie. I just felt like I had to shower after I watched it.
Yeah.
I feel like that was the intention.
Was it, though? Like...
I don't know. James Gunn made it. Ask him.
Like, I really, really, really liked all the parts of the Guardians movie after the first, half hour where he, like, abandons some girl and then there's like a panty shot of Gamora, like, oh my god.
Yeah,
that part didn't even fit tonally. That was weird.
Super fun except for the sexism.
Even like the beginning where they introduce him, he's like just like randomly kicking aliens, like,
yeah.
Like, oh, so here's our hero.
And so that's why I'm really concerned about this romance thing, is that I'm really worried that, like, we've seen all the badass Gamora shots already, right? Like, I'm worried they put them all in the trailer, and it's gonna be just, like, James Gunn all over.
James Gunning. Like, at least there are two more women. Like,
that's exciting. That's why I think Gamora's going to be fine, because I think we've seen all we were going to see of Nebula, because I'm pretty sure the shot of her was the same shot of before. Not Nebula, Mantis. Mantis doesn't even seem like a character. Like, she literally just seems like she's there.
She's improving the demographics.
But Nebula looks like she's going to be
doing stuff. What's interesting is that... Oh, sorry. Mantis is, like, one of the... I don't know if she's an original Guardian of the Galaxy, but she's, like, one of the more quintessential of the cast. Like, because Guardians wasn't, you know, Star-Lord and co. Until way long into the tenure. Or way long into after the series had started.
So maybe, yeah, maybe she'll play a good part. I'm curious what Nova is doing during all this. I mean, not that I'm asking for a Nova movie by any stretch, but I'm just curious what the whole Corps is doing.
Right, I forgot that they introduced Nova Corps.
I mean, John C. Reilly was there, which seemed odd enough, but that's fine. And then we also got a Deadpool teaser trailer, which I didn't watch due to time, but you two did, so somebody tell me what happened.
Well, it opens with a butt shot on Ryan Reynolds.
So it's worth watching. Is that a good or bad thing?
Probably a good thing? I don't know. I just... Okay, so the running joke in my friend group is just whenever you're watching a superhero movie, just try and tally the butt shots. So it's always there in my head. But yes,
yeah. A noteworthy endeavor. Yeah, it starts, the whole, the gimmick of the trailer is that Wade sees a man being mugged and runs into a telephone booth to change into his suit so that he can rescue this muggy. But it takes him, like, 4 minutes, and by the time he gets changed, the man has been shot, and...
Yeah, it's a 4 minute long teaser.
That's...
4 minutes.
Perfectly on brand for Deadpool to be long for no reason.
It's true. I think the trailer was very much like, I think the true art of the Deadpool movies is that they know they have Ryan Reynolds, and they know what they can sell with Ryan Reynolds.
That's fair.
And it's his comedic timing and his butt.
Yep. Yeah, well, my favorite bit of the trailer is that when he finally runs out of the telephone booth, Stan Lee is there, and he says, of course, and he says, like, hey, nice suit, and Deadpool actually turns around and says, zip it, Stan Lee, which is something I just need to have in GIF form right now so that I can use it whenever Stan Lee says something inappropriate.
Oh my gosh.
Has Stan Lee ever, like, this is my ignorance showing. I don't recall ever hearing anything from him other than him being in movies.
Well, occasionally he says, like, something that's, like, something that a 95-year-old man would say.
Okay.
And you're just like, oh, no.
It's not that we're excusing it, but it's like, I literally don't care what you think, Stanley, because you're 95 kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. A little
bit. Well, that's, just a little bit. Okay.
Your opinions are a product of a different time, Stanley.
Yeah, it's like, Stanley, I appreciate what he did for Marvel, and I appreciate that he was writing, like, a million books at a time all at once using this the crazy Marvel method, and that, like, most of the foundations of the universe sprung from his brain half-formed. Not that they were half-formed at the time, but, you know, perfection over time or whatever. But, you know, also... there have been like 3 generations since he was a big thing.
Wasn't he a little bit progressive for his time, like based on some of the stuff he was writing? Like,
I actually don't know.
Like, for some reason, I feel like he was on board with the idea of like social justice stuff, even if he wasn't there because different time. But like, compared to his peers, they were like, "What kind of bleeding heart hippie are you, Stan Lee?"
Yeah, I honestly don't know. Like, I don't want to confirm or deny that. I know he wasn't lagging. Like, maybe he was lagging. I guess during his time there wasn't so much like indie direct market stuff, but he certainly wasn't like behind the times.
Okay. That's cool. That's cool.
Unlike some people I could name who I'm not gonna because I would like to get a job.
We all know the hustle. I cut something out of last week, so. Moving on. You want to announce this next one, Steph?
Yeah.
I think you sent it to me.
Yeah, I sent this to you, because I, for some reason, have, like, a lot of passion about the DuckTales reboot, even though I don't remember much of watching it, except that I did, as a child.
Oh my god.
But they followed up the video of the cast singing the DuckTales theme with an actual trailer about the triplets coming to live with Scrooge McDuck, and now Donald's not in the Navy anymore. He's just like an Indiana Jonesy kind of adventurer, like a famous and so he has to go off an adventure, and so the triplets are staying with Uncle Scrooge, like,
who also is an adventurer.
Yeah, who also is apparently an adventurer.
And then the trailer, I don't know, the trailer looked and sounded freaking great. Like, it had, like, this Dot Matrix comic art, like, in the shadows. Like, like the shadows were Dot Matrix for whatever reason. Like, it kind of looks like a comic book come to life. It was really...
Oh, cool.
It was very visually appealing.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. And it seems like they're trying to give a bigger role to their, like, Smurfette character.
Yeah, I feel bad for not... What's
so
what's
glad
her name?
That Smurfette is finding a resurgence.
I don't even know her name. This feels bad.
Webby,
that's right.
Her name's Webby.
Okay, because I remembered Magica's name, but I couldn't remember Webby. But they make it seem like she is more of a character this time, and not just the pink one, which is, you know, when you kind of paint, you have this formula that you're working from that only just had her. So I think, based on her writing, they want to make her more fleshed out without, like, having to change too much, which is an unenviable task, but she seemed cool, the triplet seemed cool, Scrooge seemed like a hardcore badass.
David Tennant's playing him, and he's just, like, rocking. What? David Tennant is playing Scrooge McDuck.
Everything makes more sense now!
Yes. And he's just rocking out his natural Scottish accent.
Oh my god! Okay, I couldn't... Okay, so, for some reason, in my brain, DuckTales is the game where you shoot ducks.
Duck Hunt?
That's Duck Hunt.
I'm sorry, you poor thing, you were like, what the hell are they talking about?
No. So I caught on when you were like, Scrooge. I was like, oh, it's this one. I've seen this comic book. I know what's going on. And I also couldn't figure out why on Twitter people were talking about David Tennant being in DuckTales. I was like, what voices are there? You just shoot the ducks.
We hired David Tennant to just come and do the dog laugh whenever you miss.
Oh,
that's it.
And I couldn't figure it out. But now I understand. Now everything makes more sense.
That's a little bit more interesting. Although, Nintendo is known for rebooting stuff that people aren't and not doing it right, so we might see Duck Hunt Switch, which I'm sure that game will taste bad, as will its peripherals.
Listen, I loved me some Duck Hunt as a child.
It was fun. You had the little light gun. It was attached to Mario Brothers. Like, it was that double cartridge.
It was mostly because of the light gun. Like, that was the coolest thing.
That thing is cool. I love that a whole bunch of people went out and bought them because that was a weapon you could get in Splatoon. So just a ton of people just had Nintendo light guns and were running around with them. I was like, you bought like a $70, like, quote unquote, antique gaming peripheral to
Perfect.
Cut the cord off and just swing it around.
Perfect.
And it looks good. Do you know when it's coming out?
Not even the closest thing to a clue.
Okay, well, I'll
hopefully
be
soon.
Trying to watch it. It's coming on. It kind of had like a Gravity Falls
XD.
Feel to it.
Yeah, it'll be on Disney XD. So maybe they're trying to like capitalize on.
Did you get that too, though, or is that just me from not really watching it?
No, I think that they're going there to some extent. It's not going to have like the weirdness factor, I think, but like the kind of like magical adventure factor.
Oh, I just meant like the aesthetic and like the fluidity.
I'd say so.
Okay, cool. And lastly, since we're traveling the world with DuckTales, let's talk about the fictional city of Numbani over in the not fictional continent of Africa. That's right, folks. More Overwatch news. The new hero has been released on the test region, so you can go play her now. Her name is Zorissa. She is a female Omnic, which is the robot race, which is interesting that they have...
genders for the robots?
No, that's... It's interesting that they do and don't, is what I mean. Like, Zenyatta's clearly a dude. Orisa's supposed to be a coded female. And then Bastion, as much as people call him he, there's no lore reason to think that. It's just, like, a generic robot unit that is... that doesn't speak. It's mm-hmm. just there. Which is interesting that, like, so many of the other Omnics, with or without genders, have voices, but Bastion's just kind of, like, literally a gun that can walk around.
Yeah. And, like, and it's not even, like, that they're gendered, like, in the way that they're designed. Like, it's definitely their personalities and, like, their character and stuff. Because, yes. like, Orisa's, like, what, like, a giant spider robot kind of thing? Like...
She's kind of like a centaur.
Centaur, yeah. Like,
four legs and two arms.
Wait. Who's the child?
Oh, yeah, talk about Effie.
Yeah, the child is Effie. She's I think she's 12 now.
I thought the robot was the child.
Oh, God, no.
No, the robot
was designed by a child.
Yeah, the robot is only a week old, so she's still technically a child. But yes, the little girl is, she wants to protect her city from the, from Doomfist. Which, there's going to be so much terrible Rule 34 of Doomfist when he comes out because of his name. but Effie's like, yo, Doomfist keeps wrecking our city. I'm going to build this robot to stop him. So she builds Orisa, and Orisa has some cool abilities. People are still trying to figure out where she's going to come into play. But she's really cool and has like a really cute personality because she was built by a child. So like the little sprays or little graphics that you can unlock are like them eating ice cream or... having her do like the smiley face with like the pointed up arrows as her eyes, and she just seems like a really, really adorable character, and Effie's like, yo, we gotta help the world, and people are excited, so that's nice.
I'm glad that both that Effie was not the actual hero, just because it's like
Blizzard wasn't gonna do that.
Yeah, Diva's like pretty young. Still to be,
but she's still like an actual baby.
Yeah, Diva's 19. Like, she's legally an adult. Like a 12. Like, no one wants to see a 12-year-old get like sniped by a Widowmaker. Like coming out of the spawn. Like that's would definitely drive your ESRB rating up. And Blizzard doesn't want that. And also, like a child soldier from Africa might not be a great look right now.
But there's the other one.
Yikes.
I mean, it's basically, Numbani is basically Wakanda, if you were to compare it. Like, it's a technologically advanced African city where, like, people and machine can get along. Like, it's one of the few cities in the world where people aren't full of bullshit. Yay, black people. Which is the exact opposite of London.
Okay. I don't want to derail us, so we can come back to this, but I want to talk about the thing that I'm really excited about in comics.
Please do.
Soon. I see America number one on this list of stuff we have to talk about, so...
Yes.
We'll get there. Also, if any of y'all want to toss some Overwatch comics my direction so I can know what the hell is going on...
Yeah, we'll link you. I would not complain. They're completely free on the internet, so... Like, not bootleg, like, they're literally free.
Yeah, that's what I've understood.
Yeah, so, I mean... People ask, like, oh, man, is there, like, a schism in the fan community between, like, the quote-unquote hardcore gamers and, like, the fandom participants? Like, if I don't play the game, will I know what's going on? People are like, nah, you can know 100% of what's going on in that game without ever downloading it or touching a controller or a keyboard. Like, all the story, other than, like, some voice lines and stuff like that that are kind of incidental, you can get all of it off of YouTube and the Blizzard website where the comics are. And it's a very rich community. And the last thing I'll say about this before our break is there was the developer update where Jeff Kaplan came out and he was like, you know, we've he's been killing as far as like talking to the social crowd. He's like, hey, you know, we've heard a lot of criticisms, like some directed at us, some at other people, that there's not a lot of diversity in like female characters. He's like, you know, they always tend to like fit a certain type, but all the men get to have these really interesting and dynamic features. You know, like you have Roadhog, who's essentially a sphere. Reinhardt's big and muscular. Junkrat's a little like emaciated dude, and you know, Genji and Reaper got the booty, but all the women characters pretty much are like, you're the number eight, or you're a shorter number eight, or you're a taller number eight. So they're like, we want to do something a little bit different and try to get more creative and have like a fun design with Orisa. So they made like kind of more bulkier, kind of like less I guess like she doesn't look like a girl bot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which was nice to see them like consider that and put that in there. And
I mean, you know, the saddest thing I think about all of this is that I feel like Overwatch is actually doing a better job than most games anyway. Like
they're doing a better job than their other games.
Female character designs. What?
They're doing like Blizzard's doing better with Overwatch than they are in the whole rest of the games that they've released thus far.
Yeah, and like the character design diversity within their female characters is like it's not that much. It's nothing compared to the male characters, and it's more than most other games. Like
that's true.
And there are so many of them.
There's so many of them.
Which is very cool. The thing that made me happy. This is me, a man making it about himself again somehow, but it helps other people too, is all the characters they've released since the game has come out have all been women of color, which is, I think, very interesting.
That's cool.
Like, when Anna came out, first off, like, she's an older woman, like, in her 60s or 70s, which is already unprecedented for a shooter, but she's Egyptian as well, which is really cool. Sombra is Mexican and 30, despite the fact that I thought she was, like, 19. And then, Orisa, who's a robot, but like Effie is there, so like, you know, it's just been all like women of color, and I think that's really, really powerful that they're like, this is what the world looks like. So yeah,
that's really cool.
It's not just all Soldier 76s running around getting mad at each other.
And they've also like they've distributed the skills across these characters in such a way that you don't necessarily like that it behooves you to play as characters. These characters because they have a good skill set. Like, if you want to do this kind of thing, you want to play as this character. Mm-hmm. So you're not just like playing as a certain character because of the way they look.
Also, I mean, that's why I picked up Lucio for hella being boring. So that's the only thing I know about Overwatch. Yeah. I know that I'm really bad at Soldier 76 and he sucks, and also that D.Va is the only one who I can play as because she's just big guns, very fast.
It's I appreciate that when they're like, hey, you want to play this game? And, like, if you ask the, I'm sure you could find, like, the most sexist, racist dude of all time, if he was an Overwatch pro, like, who's the first people we should pick? He's like, actually, Ana and Lucio, guaranteed. They're like, I thought you hated brown people. He's like, that has nothing to do with winning. which is an interesting concept to think about that might be discussed on a later date. Don't be racist, everyone. And on that note, here's some music. We'll see you after the break.
We are back for our third segment of the episode. We're going to talk about some things we got this week and some comic stuff, and rather than wrap it up. So, one of the comic books that I got this week that I am super excited about is the number one of the new America Chavez series. I am lucky enough to live in a giant city and know a guy at the comic book store. So I was able to get the Hamilton-inspired hip-hop cover.
Nice.
I'm very excited about it. Just like America as a blue star on a red background, but like her with her fist up in the air, a la the Hamilton album art. And it was excellent.
I'm so excited about this comic.
Yeah, I was excited, about like people who were showing up in it and just like how kind of unapologetic it is. So,
oh my god, no, okay, so did you look at the list of creators? I just felt my accent change. Oh my god. Okay, so for the background, for people, probably you guys don't know this, maybe you do, I grew up in Hamilton Heights in New York, and so I grew up in a neighborhood where it was like 95% like Latinos people.
Yeah, which is where I am right now, so I can speak to that.
Hell's pumped about this comic. It also means that, like, I grew up in a neighborhood where Spanish was dominant, so every once in a while I'll, like, return to, like, that kind of mindset, and my accent will shift very slightly, because it's, like, how I talked when I was little, and I just talk faster, and my T's get a little bit more clipped.
Anyway, I did not know that. That's cool.
I don't know if it'll happen, but it's always really funny, and I can feel it in my mouth. But if you look at the list of creators for America, it's, like, all Latino and Latina people.
Yeah.
And it's super, super exciting. Like, the writer is, like, a queer Latina, right? And, like,
yeah.
The artist is Joe Quiñones. I don't remember who the colorist is, but it's also, like, a Latino person. Like, it's Rivera so exciting.
Rivera and Rivera. Father and Son, Rivera and Rivera on inks, and Villarubia on colors.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's, like, it's so freaking exciting about this book.
Yeah.
And it's so good, too. Like, it's not just like, oh, this is a team that ticks all the boxes. No, it's a good team.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine that. People of all groups are able to be good at stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, and it's, like, entirely own voices.
Mm. I really like the way they draw America's just, like, her face, like, her hair, like, I don't know.
She's got hips.
I love it. Yeah, she's got hips. Like, she's got, like, a strong nose, like...
So, like, they drew her to, like, not just be,
just, like,
a color...
Yeah, she's not, like, a color swap.
Yeah.
Like, they drew a white lady, and then...
No, she's Latina. Like...
Awesome.
No question.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. And it's got, like... it's got any Spanish at all in it, which is always really exciting for me. Mm. And it's just... It's so good.
Oh, yeah. No, she has those, I'm looking at, like, one of these covers, she has, like, that, like, those horrible American sunglasses that are, like, stars on the one side and stripes on the other.
No, the cover
for, aesthetic.
The cover for issue 2 is a callback to that, like, iconic lemonade shot.
Oh, that's for number 2.
Yeah, we talked about that on a previous episode, I think, the formation cover.
These variants are super dope, oh my god. Wow. Oh, man. This is...
Yeah.
I'm so glad I don't get comics, man. They're too good. They're too good, man.
Yeah.
Oh, her jacket's dope, too. Oh, man. This is...
Yeah.
Man, her costume is great. If there's anything consistent. That's
no,
awesome.
No, and they're, like, they're doing callbacks to old Captain America costumes. Like, it's every single thing that I want out of a comic titled America. She punches Hitler, guys.
Yeah, she punches Hitler,
it's so
like,
good.
In the first issue.
You know, I think this is the future that even Steve Rogers would agree with, you know?
Oh, see, the beautiful thing is that there's, like, a funky time dealy happening, and she pops back into 1940 or whatever.
I was going to assume something funky happened with time if she punched actual Hitler.
And she sees Steve Rogers, and she's just like, hold on, I recognize you. That must mean I'm... And then she steps in front of him and punches Hitler in front of him. And that's just so beautifully symbolic
and that,
based
like,
on
yeah,
where
like,
Steve
that's
Rogers
where...
is in the comics right now.
Yeah, seriously.
He's a Nazi.
I feel like Marvel is making their stance pretty known. They're like, hey, you remember that time we had someone punch Hitler? We still agree with that.
Well, no, so, okay.
Well,
so
they're trying
the thing.
To kind of
I
have
think...
their cake and eat it too.
Hey, I know that.
I think that very specific parts of Marvel are making their stance known. Marvel as a whole doesn't know what the hell it's doing.
Getting money. That's literally their only goal. Someone reminded me, as always, companies don't care about you. They don't care about what's right. They don't care about what's wrong. They just want to make money. And anytime they do the right thing, it's for money. And you know what? I'll give them money to do the right thing. If they want to put America Chavez punching Hitler on the cover of every comic they release for the next 5 years... I'm not going to tell them not to do that.
I all of my dollars at that.
Right?
Oh, yeah, and okay. So I needed to check this, but Will Moss is the editor, and Will Moss is just, like, crushing it. Will Moss also edits, like, Hellcat.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Will Moss is, like, tops.
Very cool. What else did we get
this week?
Oh,
so we were going to spin off of that into a discussion of the the upcoming Black Panther series, or Black Panther spin-off series, basically, The Crew.
Yes.
Which is, it's based on, like an arc of the current Black Panther series, where
this... Yeah, so what happened was, ages and ages ago, there was a series, I think, called Black Panther and The Crew. And it was just, like, Black Panther and a bunch of people who were, like, Harlem street-level heroes. And very briefly, they did sort of, like, a weird backdoor pilot, in a recent arc of, the main Black Panther title, where, Ta-Nehisi Coates brought in, Luke Cage, Misty Knight, I think Storm was there?
Yeah, Storm was there.
I'm pretty sure Storm was actually there, and Eden, and I don't remember his hero title.
I just know Eden. I know what he can do.
he's a thing. Anyway, so they're turning that into an actual series that takes place in Harlem. It's going to be written by Ta-Nehisi Coates and Yona Harvey, who's actually lives in Pittsburgh and she's did a story professor. In the recent spinoff World of Wakanda. And it's a gift for me specifically. It's mine. He's doing it for me.
What I thought was so interesting about it is when I saw it, I was like, I turned the page to the image, like where they were like, and it's The Crew, and I was like, holy shit! Like, I was like, this is like I'm not black. I don't, and I just this image is just filled with so much like excellent blackness that I'm just excited about. Where it's gonna go from here, because it was the end of an issue, you know, it was like this splash page the last.
That was like straight up my favorite issue of all of the recent Black Panther run, and I guess actually that's a really good point. It's not for me. It's like I am a white person who currently lives in Pittsburgh, PA. Like, this comic is not, it's not being written for me.
This is one of the least black places you can go.
But the thing is that like. One of like, there's a bunch of steps into like my diving deep into comics, and one of them was when I found this 80s Sam Wilson, like the Falcon run, where it's like all about the really, really tenuous bad relationship between Harlem gangs and the cops. And this was in the 80s, and it was Sam Wilson, like partially as a Falcon and partially as a social worker. And it was really cool. I'm sure it's, like, got lots of problematic aspects, but the fact that it exists was really exciting. And a bunch of, like, Black Canary comics that were also made in the 80s or 90s that were really social justice focused and, like, about grassroots organizing and, like, being part of the communities that you're part of, even if they're not, like, perfect. And so I've been really, really looking for that in comics, and I've just been disappointed at every turn. So, like, the new Black Canary series started, and she was just, like, a pop-punk princess. And I was like, that's great, but also not what I wanted. and then the
If you're looking for, new... like,
Go ahead.
If you're looking for that kind of thing, Ta-Nehisi Coates definitely is the kind of guy who would put this kind of thing in a story.
Yeah, I'm, like, so unbelievably excited about this. Because it's like what I want to see from comics. And I love his writing, and, like... I love these characters, and I love comics in Harlem, and I love my street-level heroes, and I'm just,
That's something that does make me happy, though, because I feel like it happens a lot to, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but maybe other people of color, queer people, women, when we get something that's kind of catered for us or to us, there's always a knee-jerk reaction of, do I just like this because it's for me? Because people always want to throw that out there, like, oh, you only like that because it's about black people. And usually it's not that, but part of you always is just self-conscious about whatever anyone says about anything. So it's not that I need the affirmation of, oh, white people like this, so it's all right. But it is cool to see, and also to show Marvel, like, hey, if you make a story about, you know, marginalized groups, people that aren't in that group can still like the thing. Yeah. Like, it is good.
It's gonna be freaking good.
There are things that suck and they fall off very quickly, but when things are quality, they get the attention they deserve. So I need to get into comics so I can read this stuff because it looks so cool.
Just eventually borrow them really from good. Me.
The artist is, I think his name is Butch Grice. Butch Geis? G-U-I-C-E. I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce that. But it's
Someone will get it. So someone knows pumped. It. Hey, I'm still running off adrenaline for Black Panther next year, the movie. I know it's going to be dope. What else we got while we're here?
What did you get this week, Dom?
I got some shirts from T-Fury because they own all my money. So I got a tank top. It's a Rick and Morty tank top. It's just Rick. It says like Swifty Ale. It's like a beer bottle, but like the label you'd see on a beer bottle with like the proof and stuff like that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's talking about getting Swifty. It's like, it says some like Crazy Rick's Swifty Ale or something like that. I don't know. It's probably the lowest quality shirt from them I've ever gotten, in the sense that like you can see like the screen printing marks.
Oh,
which
weird.
Is like, this is odd, so I don't know if they're like trying to hustle since they had like that bad year a couple years back. I also got a Hanzo t-shirt. Hanzo's, like a cereal. instead of Kellogg's, it says Kaplan's, and I really like the shirt. I never play Hanzo. I get upset when there's Hanzos on my team because they're normally not as good as they think they are. But everything about Hanzo outside of the game, I love a lot. He's pretty cool design. His backstory's cool. I mean, even his gameplay is cool in theory. Blizzard just needs to hurry up and make him the gay character we all know he is and give him that cool jacket. But that's what I got this week, as well as I saw another episode of Steven Universe.
Yeah, that was a kind of meh episode.
It felt meh.
Yeah, with the return of Tiger Millionaire and Purple Puma.
Yes, I don't know. Any episode with Lars in it, I don't understand its purpose. Zora, do you watch Steven Universe?
I do. I'm like many weeks behind.
We won't get too much into it. This episode could have happened literally at any other point in the series. There's no, like...
like, at any point after the original premiere of Tiger Millionaire, like... because I feel like, it was...
it didn't do anything different. Like, the only thing that was different was that Amethyst's shirt was white instead of the black or purple it was before.
Yeah.
Like, you can just tell that it's been since reformations, but... there doesn't seem to be, like, any lessons that they've learned since then.
Yeah, like, it was just, like, the penny premise of it is just that... Amethyst doesn't want to be Purple Puma anymore because she doesn't feel like she needs that alternate personality to feel wanted anymore, I guess. But, like, that could...
yeah, like, that also kind of was nebulous. She's like, oh, you know, before I felt like I wasn't good enough before. And it's like, I thought the reason you were wrestling is because you were mad at Garnet and Pearl for not letting you do stuff. But now it's, like, context-sensitive discomfort. It was eh. It makes you feel like they're building up to something again that's going to be like, it's going to hurt your soul. I feel like the show works better when it's like, it works better as like a 15, like an hour and 15 minute show. If it were just playing all the episodes back to back, that's the best way to absorb this program. But yeah, you should, when you get a chance to catch up, Zora, it's so good. There's so much good stuff.
My roommate will like drop everything to watch the new episodes.
What's the last one you've seen?
That's such a good question. Oh my god. I think it was like the... what were people calling it? The Steven Missile Strike?
That's...
it was all the leaked ones.
Bomb, yes.
it was all the leaked ones.
What was the event of that one?
The leaked ones? That was... what leaked was the stuff, like, after Christmas. Like, starting with Blue Diamond and that?
Yeah, okay. I think... I don't know if this was the last one I saw, but you know when Greg gets, like, kidnapped?
yeah.
And they go to the zoo.
The state zoo.
And oh, Patti LuPone sings, and it's a lot.
Yes.
And then, like, the bad guy from Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is there, and it's crazy. It's wild. That's called a callback, my friends. And on that note, might as well get out of here. Is that everything?
Yeah.
Anything else you all want to talk about?
Yeah, I'm gonna plug myself.
Yeah, do that.
Before we go. All right. So once again, my name is Zora Gilbert. You can find me on the internet at ZH Gilbert, and then whatever the heck the website URL is. I am currently running a Kickstarter for Dates Anthology 2. So Dates 1 was a queer anthology of queer historical fiction. Dates 2 is also an anthology of queer historical fiction, but it's 100 pages longer. And it's absolutely stunning. We have a ton of amazing creators. We've got previews up on our blog, datesanthology.com. And also at our Kickstarter page, which you can get to by going to kickstarter.datesanthology.com. There are a lot of like sick reward tiers, including bonus comics, a pin I designed, which is very exciting. You can get commissions from our spectacular people, and you can also get original pages. So if you don't know what that is, it's the actual piece of paper that the art is on, before the tones and stuff and any digital adjustments. Yeah, so go to kickstarter.datesanthology.com, give us your money. It's going to be so cool. Every dollar past the stretch goal, or past the base goal, works towards getting our creators more pay. So the best way to support the artists who worked on the project is to pledge as soon as possible.
Excellent. That's a good thing. So go check that out, everyone. If you have the disposable income, this is something we highly recommend. We don't got to do any of the disclosure stuff because this is obviously our friend.
Yeah. It's good stuff from good people. It's worth your money.
Yeah.
Please support
the work. And we did it before, so it'll, like, we had, like, crazy record turnaround last time, and we're going to do it again. So
see, there's that reliability that you all want so much. I mean, if you're kickstarting a sequel and you kickstarted the first one, chances are this one's going to come out. So no need to be gun shy. Throw your cash, as they would say. And if you're in the patronage spirit and you want to support the podcast you're listening to, you should do that as well. There's not any financial ways to support us, but right now what you can do is you can go, like, check us out, subscribe, leave comments, leave ratings, and that sort of thing. You can find this podcast pretty much anywhere. You can go to iTunes, Google Play Podcasts, Simplecast, you know, so characterreveal.simplecast.fm. We're also on Stitcher. And you can find this podcast on Facebook. If you search Character Reveal, you'll know the logo. And on Twitter, @CharacterRev, so that's two R's in the middle. And if you want to get specific, you want to follow me around on the internet, A, that's creepy, but B, don't be creepy about it, but you should still do it. You can find me anywhere on the internet at Brother Dom, that's BROTHADOM, not brother. You'll find some other person, and they might not be down for your creepiness, but I'll be there. You can find Steph on Twitter at Captain Steph, or on Tumblr at The Snow Queer. Do we have any more gay ice people? I've already used Elsa and Zarya. I don't have any other references.
Bobby. Bobby's gay.
Oh, yeah. Bobby the X-Men.
Yes. Bobby the Iceman. The X-Men.
The X-Men Iceman.
He is also a snow queer, so you should go check. Go to Tumblr and type that in. And if you want to see some of our more long-form, kind of in-depth wording, you can go to the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog. That's intersectional feminism about nerd stuff. That's ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. And as always, all the music you see below, or you've heard in this show, not seen below, you can't see music, really. Maybe waveforms, but that's not really seeing it. That'll be in the show notes, so check those out and support those artists because they worked really hard, or at least hard enough to make something awesome. And that's worth praise. We want to extend thank you, Zora, for joining us for our episode of Geekly. It's a little bit different, I know.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a great time. I love being on podcasts with you guys.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, I had a fun time.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to have you back whenever things are happening.
When I we're do more help. Stuff.
I'm going to say, dates 3, if not sooner.
Oh, God. I can't even think about anything past dates 2 right now. I just got to get this book. I just got to get this book done.
Hey, well, we'll be there to provide the moral support, and we hope the funds are coming in. And listeners, thanks for jamming with us for another episode. Until next time, see you later.
Bye.
Bye.